Blog Talk Radio.
Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 Park Construction, Section 1, boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9. Respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level, near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4, boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1, boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2, Franklin and Brown.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, High Frank, 401 is a route.
Well, good evening. Fancy meeting you here again. Seems like we were just here, 23 hours ago? Well, welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Glad that you've joined us on this Monday evening, the 13th of June, and just real happy that you are continuing on in the journey with us. We're here tonight to continue with part two of the Alzheimer's disease recognition and response. Emergency training for public safety and private security. I'm your host, instructor, guru, extraordinaire, Rick McCann. I'm the founder and CEO of Private Officer International. We're a security and police association, organization, business company, et cetera, based in Atlanta, Georgia. Glad that you're with us tonight. I'm kind of hesitant to announce this miracle that's happened because I don't want to jinx myself. But okay, here we go. Any of you, or for those of you, I guess I should say, who have been listening to the program for the last few weeks, you know that I've had a problem. Every place that I broadcast from while on the road, just moments before broadcast, for some reason, the beautiful sky that was blue, the warm, hot sun shining above, suddenly disappeared. The sky turned gray, and torrential rains, thunder, and lightning boom all around during my shows for the last four or five at least. But tonight, and I wasn't going to mention this. I wasn't even going to bring up the weather. But tonight, thank goodness, it is sunny, bright, and clear, 86 degrees here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yay! Let's hear it for Charlotte. Good to be in Charlotte tonight, Charlotte, North Carolina. Beautiful place. Not too far from the mountains, not too far from the beach. Great place to live, I guess. And we're glad to be here tonight. But tonight we're here to continue with part two of our training. I'm going to forego a lot of the preliminary stuff that we normally do on our Sunday night broadcast so that we can get into the meat of the training here quicker, as we did last night. Do want to mention just a couple of quick things. In Santa Ana, California, I mentioned last night that a private security officer was killed Friday night, and there is a $50,000 reward now being offered, $50,000. According to law enforcement, they are not making known who is putting up the money. They didn't say if it was the security agency. They didn't say if it was a local businessman. They're just not saying. But they did report today in the news that $50,000 has been offered for the information leading to the arrest of the suspect in the murder case. So if you are in the area and you know anything about it, or maybe you can, you know, put the word out, they are offering quite the reward for information. While on the air tonight, as any time that we're on the air, you can email us at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Feel free to submit any news, training, questions, comments, events, happenings. Hey, we've had wedding announcements, engagements, and birthdays, anniversaries, whatever you want to submit, feel free. radio@privateofficer.com. And you can send it to us. Even if we're off the air, because we'll read it and handle it on the next show. As you probably know by now, if you're a frequent listener, we're currently in the 2011 training initiative. If you've not participated, we invite you to go to our website at www.privateofficer.com, click on the blue banner on the top of the page, and participate. There are two free training modules at this time. We are looking to train 1,000 security officers worldwide in at least two additional training modules free of charge. Go to our website, privateofficer.com, and click on and participate in the free training. A couple of other quick announcements. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. You can join our forums. We've got about 600 members there, hundreds of videos, pictures, threads, conversations of all types. We've got members from all around the world. We've got law enforcement, security, loss prevention, just about from every area of both public safety, private security, and law enforcement. Go to our website at privateofficer.com and click on the link for our forums and join today. You can also follow us on Twitter, and you can read our daily news blog right there. Link it from our homepage at privateofficer.com. We are in the midst of our summertime road trip heading out to the Southwest, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, and eventually out to California, back through the middle of America. And if you are any place in that area or in between, and you would like for us to stop in and say hello and give a presentation to your company or the area security group about Private Officer or the chapters, or even do a training module for you, we will be happy to do that. Send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Be glad to stop in and meet you. Don't forget to join us at the Midwest Security Police Conference and Expo. That's going to be August 23 and 24. That is in the great state of Illinois in Peoria, just outside of Chicago. We will be there both as a speaker as well as setting up a booth. And we'll also be in New Jersey next week at the Police Expo there at Atlantic City, New Jersey. And stop in and join us. We'll be there during the three-day event. Let me see what else very quickly we got to mention. We did all the updates, birthdays, blah, blah, blah last night, so I guess that pretty well covers it. We're glad that you've joined us tonight. If you're here because you have a loved one who currently suffers from Alzheimer's disease, maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's your husband, your wife. Maybe it's a friend of the family, someone that you are familiar with, and they currently suffer from Alzheimer's disease. Last night we covered a lot of information, and actually I've compiled or compressed the information, the training from what would be a 2 or 3 day seminar down to just 2.5 hours. So if you would like additional information on the disease, you can go to ALZ.org. That is the Alzheimer's Disease Association, or you can contact us at radio@privateofficer.com. We will get you more information or be happy to provide you additional training. As you know, Alzheimer's and dementia, it's really a draining, intense type of disease. What it does is it eats away at your brain cells, and that's what causes the various stages of this disease. There are basic three stages. In the beginning stage, the early onset, the person may begin to loosely become forgetful. They may occasionally forget where they left something, or to turn off the stove, or occasionally, you know, you can tell that their memory is starting to slip. And then it progresses. This is a very progressive disease, and it will progress. And depending on how soon it gets diagnosed, depends on how quickly it goes from one stage to the other. If you don't catch it in the beginning stages and the person, you know, doesn't get out to a doctor to be diagnosed until the middle stages, that person at that point is going to be at the stage that they're going to need 24/7 care. They may still have some memory left, but they will not be able to provide for themselves. They will not be able to dress for themselves, cook for themselves once they get to that stage. And in the last stages, unfortunately, the person will just need 100% care and oftentimes will need to go to a facility, a skilled nursing facility, and oftentimes in a lockdown facility where they can't wander. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, wandering, sundowning. We'll be talking a little bit more about approaching a patient, search and rescue, Project Lifesaver, and safe return. Again, welcome, Pierre. Thanks for joining us on another edition of Private Officer Talk Radio tonight as we wrap up the second segment of this training series, Alzheimer's Recognition and Response, Emergency Training for Public Safety and Private Security. We've mentioned for the last few nights now about sundowning, which is associated with the Alzheimer's disease. And it may be a phrase that you are familiar with, or maybe you're not. But when talking about Alzheimer's patients, many times, in the late afternoon or early evening, Alzheimer's patients in the, especially the second stage, the middle stage, will begin to be antsy. They'll become a little bit more active. They will want to go outside. And when you ask them, where, honey, do you want to go? They will say, home. But you are home. No, no, I want to go home. And oftentimes during this period, when the person is able to get out of their home or facility and begin to wander the community, when they are finally found and a emergency worker asks them, where are you going? They will repeat that thing. I want to go home. I want to go home. Sundowning. All that means is that in the early evening, late afternoon, many Alzheimer patients, for some reason or the other, and some medical specialists say it's associated with the patient always connecting that time of day with the time to leave school or leave work, or leave whatever they've been involved in to go home. It's when most people go home after work, as it begins to get dark, as we go and transition from late afternoon into early evening. Sometimes they'll stand at the window, at the door during that time period, looking to leave. They may get their jacket on. They may get dressed. I'm ready to go. If they're still able to talk and communicate with you, they may tell you that. I'm ready to go. Okay, let's get in the car. I'm ready to go. Where? Home. I want to go home. It's time to go home. It's time to go. Time to go. Standing there and telling the patient that they are home, whether it be one time or 10 times or 100 times, probably is not going to do you any good because it's not translating to them that they're home. To them, they want to go home. So during this time frame, during the day, oftentimes they will wander. If they are able to get out of their home or facility, they will wander. And for many patients, that is extremely dangerous for a number of reasons. Obviously, they're at the point where they don't know what's going on. They don't comprehend danger. They don't understand that they're lost. They have no fear, just like a little child, of people, things. They have no processing skills at that point. So wandering for them, even if they say they're only going around the block, is extremely dangerous. But sundowning, when someone in the medical profession is talking about an Alzheimer's patient and mentions sundowning, that's what they're talking about. How patients begin to get antsy, wanting to leave, wanting to go out, wanting to go home during the late afternoon or early evening hours, even if they are already home, sundowning. Getting back to the wandering aspect of this, many caregivers, family members, unfortunately, especially in the early onset, the early stages, don't recognize the dangers of allowing a person with any form of the disease drive. And so many times, we actually find people, patients with car keys behind the wheel. Well, they're okay to go down the block. They're just going to the store. They're okay to drive just around the corner to their church they've gone to for 35 years. They're okay. No, they're not okay. They have a loss of memory. Not only that, but a lot of their driving skills is disappeared. They're not agile. They can't think as quick. Sometimes they don't compute what's going on. In a number of recent tests, time and time again, we've seen patients with this disease in the early stages who are allowed to drive have serious wrecks, serious traffic accidents because they can't react to the yellow light changing to the green light. They can't react to a vehicle pulling out of a shopping center. They can't brake fast enough. They can't avoid the collision. Many patients with this disease, when allowed to drive, will sometimes drive and drive and drive for miles and miles and miles. I told you last night the three cases, one of those cases, the man from Ohio drove all the way to Canada. He was only supposed to be driving around the block to the grocery store. Why did he drive to Canada? Because he has no memory. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how far away his destination was. All that he knew was he had to get there. And because he was allowed to have the keys and get behind the wheel, he wound up in Canada instead of around the block. Many patients with this disease are a hazard to themselves and to the community. We have to recognize when it's time to pull the keys for their own good. Even if you do that, there are many patients who wander. More than 70% of patients with Alzheimer's disease wander. What does this mean? It's simple. Patients with Alzheimer's disease love to walk, whether they're in a secure facility, whether they're at home, whether they're at their children's home. They love to walk, and they will walk and walk and walk and walk. You see, when you're in the middle and last stages of this disease, it has eaten away all of your memory and brought you back to square one. You don't have any recollection, no memory. You don't know the difference between 1 mile and 100 miles. You don't know the difference between one block and 50 blocks. They don't know. And so many times, we in public safety, private security, will get a call or we'll observe someone who's out wandering who looks like they're lost. Public safety personnel, fire department, police get a call more than 42,000 times a year. 42,000 times a year, police and fire get a call that an Alzheimer's patient is missing. They're out. They've left. No one knows where they are.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those situations where 81-year-old Rodney Foltz has been missing, as you say, for 2 days. But he suffers from Alzheimer's. He has diabetes, high blood pressure, and some other ailments. And so right now, medication is critical, and he probably hasn't had that medication in a couple of days. And then you combine that with the intense heat that we've been suffering for the past couple of days and a lack of fluids. And right now, he needs to be found just to get the medication and the fluids. Time really is of the essence.
And so he's what I understand.
Time is of the essence. So when a patient begins to wander off, when they leave their residence, the nursing home, the skilled facility, the hospital, when they're able to get out, it is a crisis situation. It is an emergency that we begin to look for them immediately, because they will keep on walking, keep on going, 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 going. They won't stop unless there's a physical barrier, such as a lake, a river, a high fence that they just can't walk around. Many times we find Alzheimer's patients in the woods in deep thickets, deep, deep brush, because they've gotten stuck there and they can't get out. And unfortunately and tragically, many times, I can't begin to tell you how many times I've been on a search and rescue personally and found an Alzheimer's patient in a pond, a river, or a lake. They can't cross that body of water, but sometimes they try, because they don't know any better. 60% of all Alzheimer's patients will be found within 1 mile or less of their home or the location that they left if emergency rescue is called within the first hour. Of Alzheimer's patients will be found within 3 miles or less of where they left their home, the facility. If rescue workers are called within the first hour, on the other side of that coin, when people, when nursing homes, when family wait in excess of 3 hours, the likelihood of recovery of the person alive any place is less than 50%. So time is of the essence. If your loved one strays, or if you are working in a skilled care facility, a hospital, if you're in private security and you get notified that we have an Alzheimer's patient missing, immediately you must coordinate a search. But that search should be interior of your property only, and all you can do, do all you can do in your buildings, on your property, within the hour. If you don't find that person, you need to call for assistance, 911. Within 1 hour of the call, 60% of those who go missing are found within 1 mile or less. 75% will be found within 3 miles or less if you call within that first hour. If it goes on hour after hour, why don't people call? Why doesn't the family call? Why doesn't the facility call? Because they think the person's coming back. Oh, they love to walk. Sometimes they just walk and walk. Oh, I'm sure he'll get back by sundown. I'm sure that she'll return at dinner time. They don't know it's dinner time. They don't know it's bedtime. They don't have any fathom, any clue of what time it is or how far they have walked. And so they will continue to walk and walk and walk and walk until they reach a physical barrier, until they reach a stream, a lake, a pond, a high fence that they can't get around, a wooded area. They're going to walk through the wooded area trying to reach the other side until they are so deep in the thickets, so deep into the woods that they're physically stuck and can't get out. Wandering is dangerous. If you work in a skilled facility, if you are a parent, if you are a son, if you are a loved one of someone with this disease, wandering is not healthy. Oh, I just let him out to the backyard. I can't imagine where he'll be, where he'd be. I can't imagine him walking off. Well, of course he's walking off because he doesn't know better. He's like a one-year-old. He doesn't know better, folks. If you're going to have people at home with this disease, if you're going to be the caretaker, the care provider, the care partner, you need to secure the facility as much as possible. They will walk away. They will take off when you least expected.
Folks in this community really banded together to try and find the 79-year-old Alzheimer's patient. They did everything they could. They knocked on doors. Firefighters, neighbors, and the fire department, as I mentioned, all came together, banding together, looking for this patient. She was eventually found in that pond that you see on your screen. According to police, Barbara Jean Matthews wandered out of her family's home around 11:30 last night here on Brookview Street near 11 Mile. Relatives called 911 and the frantic search for Matthews began. Police put out robocalls alerting neighbors to be on the lookout for Matthews. Firefighters also joined in the search. Earlier today, though, one of Matthew's neighbors came home and saw something floating in the pond behind his house. It was Matthew's.
We were all kind of concerned because I'm used to seeing her, you know, the woman walking with her big hat and just very friendly. So very sad to hear that she wandered into the pond.
The victim was a doctor, and she was a university professor and a teacher, a well-known person who was an advocate of women's groups and battered women, and our condolences go out to the family. It's the ending we hoped wouldn't occur.
And certainly neighbors say that she will be missed. Reporting live in Farmington Hills.
The lady here in Michigan, 79 years old, a PhD, a doctor, someone who was highly intelligent, worked at a medical facility. But you see, at this stage of her life, at this age, with this disease, she could not help herself. She could not put her thoughts together as she was out wandering around. Neighbors thought, oh, nice lady with the hat. She's always out walking. On this particular day, she walked herself right into the pond because she didn't know she couldn't swim. She didn't know she was going to drown. She had no memory of what the water even was. It is important that we understand that allowing patients with this disease to go out walking on their own at any time is a danger, very dangerous situation. Because they don't know, and they will continue walking, 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 walking. If you're a private security or law enforcement or public safety officer, if you work in a hospital, a skilled facility, a lockdown facility, there's something else I'd like for you to remember, be aware of. Year after year after year, Alzheimer's patients who go missing from a skilled facility or a hospital are actually found not miles away, not around the block, but there at the facility, at the hospital, at the nursing home, dead. Usually because they went into a place that they couldn't remember how to get out of, a cubicle, a garage, a storage room. Nashville, Tennessee, an Alzheimer's patient missing for 6 days was found in a hospital closet, dead. Law enforcement and rescue personnel had conducted a search of the facility and then began an exterior search for 6 days. But located her in the closet. In Vancouver, at the Riverview Hospital, a missing patient with Alzheimer's disease was found after an extensive 3-day search in February. 59-year-old Patricia Donna Reed, a long-time patient at the hospital, was found in a cubicle, dead. Seventy-three-year-old Tony Wofford, missing from a skilled nursing facility in Florida, found 3 days later dead on the hospital grounds. A search had been conducted of the hospital, but he was still on the grounds. He had never left. If you are a security or public safety or law enforcement officer or rescue member and you get a call to a hospital, to a nursing care facility, do a thorough check and then do a double check. make sure that you check and check and check the property, especially if it's a lockdown facility, because chances are good that they never left, that they're still on the grounds. They may not be there in the first search. That's why it's important to go back and search again. Do a secondary search. Do a third search. While also conducting an exterior search, a grid search if necessary, to locate the patient. Remember, all of these patients, when they go missing, not only are they lost, but they're in dire straits because most of them are on a substantial amount of various medications, and without their meds, they're going to die quickly, especially in the heat or the cold. Their body cannot tolerate those environments, those conditions. So if you are working in a skilled facility, a hospital, any type of location where you have elderly folks living, especially with Alzheimer's disease, if you get a report of one missing, take 30 minutes and check the property. Take 45 minutes and double check. But don't let it go beyond the hour. Within that 60 minutes, make sure you've got help on the way. Let them begin an outside exterior search while you and staff continue searching the grounds. Search the basement, the attic, the parking decks, the garages, the storage buildings. Search under the porch. We have found patients under the front porch dead because no one thought to look. Any crawl space, any cubicle that a patient can get into, they may think it's a game like hide and seek. Remember, they have no memory. They don't know. They're not supposed to be in there, and oftentimes they can't remember how to get out. It's important to treat these every time as an emergency, because they are. It is a life and death situation. There are a couple of programs designed to help folks with these type of diseases and brain injuries. Project Lifesaver started in Chesapeake, Virginia in 1999. It's one of the most effective programs to return loved ones safely in the U.S. Project Lifesaver, if you're not familiar with it, is a radio tag, a radio bracelet that is placed on the person's ankle or on their wrist. And Project Lifesaver, in most cases, is free. And what it does, basically, is once this bracelet is applied to the patient, if they should go wandering, if they should get lost, if you, for any reason, can't find them, you can call police. The bracelet, the anklet acts just like a low jack system. If you're familiar with vehicles who have low jack, when the low jack is activated, it sends out a radio frequency. And police, public safety, and emergency personnel have a receiver that they can tune in to the specific frequency of the band that the person is wearing. And whenever they get the call, whenever a person has this life-saving device, recovery of the patient
is quick. Lost Deal with James City County Police Department. We're here today to talk to you about Project Lifesaver. Project Lifesaver is a radio tracking device that we put on clients that are at high risk from wandering from home and losing their way and not being able to come back home. This typically is somebody that has Alzheimer's, dementia, or autism. It's a simple device. It's a radio tracking device that we place on their wrist or ankle. It's about the size of a watch. It doesn't cause them any pain or discomfort. If they wander from home, their caretaker would then call us, tell us that they've left. We would plug in the frequency to our tracking equipment, respond to the scene, and start to locate the subject. The first thing we use is an antenna on our vehicle to narrow down the search pattern. Once we get out there and have received a signal from them and narrowed it down, we then go to a handheld device. Get out of the cars, walk, and search, and find them this way. This typically can take about 20 or 30 minutes, and we can get this person returned to their loved ones. Without this equipment, if they're not in our program, it could take 20, 30, 40 officers searching anywhere from 4, 6 to 12 hours of the day before we're able to locate them and get them home. This program certainly will cut down on that and get them home a lot sooner.
Some time ago, I joined a support group here in the neighborhood at Colonial Heritage, and Charles would always take walks every day with his neighbor. And one day, the neighbor came back because he was tired and Charles stayed gone. He was going to come back alone. Well, it was an hour, and then it was a couple of hours, and he wasn't back from his walk, and I started to get very concerned. After about 2.5 hours, maybe a little bit more, I realized that I needed help to see if we could locate him. And the neighbors got involved, and after a while, one of the neighbors said, "I think we probably need to get the police department involved." So when I called the police department, the officers came out, and they assisted us with locating Charles. But it had been for about 3.5 hours, and I was really concerned.
Once you get in the outside world like that, in the woods, you just keep walking and walking. It's not that you trying to walk away from something. It's that you lose all track of time.
It's free. There's no cost to you. The officer comes once a month and install the new batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you just make sure that the batteries are working good for you every day on a day-by-day basis. It's one of the best things that, you know, a society can do for its citizens, I think. And I do appreciate it, really appreciate that.
I think that the program takes the worry out of something really going bad.
It's not just good for the Williamsburg area. If we go to visit another city or township, and we can go on vacations and not be concerned, because the police department here will fax a bio to include a picture of Charles to whatever area that we're visiting in case we run into a problem, or, you know, we are missing him for any period of time. The police department on that end has that information, and they can help us to locate him.
Project Lifesaver is exactly that. It's a lifesaver. If you need more information, you can go to their website at projectlifesaver.org. Again, it's a tracking device. It sends out a radio signal, a frequency that the police, public safety, emergency, rescue workers can pick up on their receiver and track the person. As you heard Charles say, an elderly man with Alzheimer's disease, it's not that they're trying to get away from anything. They just don't know any better. They keep on walking and walking and walking and walking and walking. There was a situation a while back in Virginia where the man, a black fella, who got out of his house, began to walk and walk and walk and walk. He eventually walked into a swamp and got into mud that was all the way up to his chin. He was not part of any Lifesaver program. He had no tracking device, but luckily there were skilled rescue workers in the area on the search, on the hunt, and luckily for him, he was found. It is so important that you understand that people with this disease are going to wander. They're going to try to get out. Time and time again, even in a lockdown skilled facility, they will escape. They will find a way out. They will wait by the door as people come in, as visitors come in, and they will sneak out behind them. It's just in them to go and wander. especially during the late evening, late afternoon, early evening, during sundowner, as we described and talked about moments ago. So you have to understand, you have to realize the importance that should this situation happen, you have 60 minutes to make a quick search, a primary search, a preliminary search of your property, your buildings, before you call 911. Don't let it go for hours like this lady did. Don't let it go for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours, because at that point, there's no telling if this person will be found alive or at all. Remember, if you call within the first hour, according to national statistics, 60% of people are found within 1 mile or less. 60%. That's pretty good. If you call within that first hour, 75% are found within 3 miles or less. Even more if they're wearing one of those tracking devices, if they're wearing a lifesaver bracelet. But even if they're not, if you call within that first hour, there's a high probability that they will be found nearby within a mile or two of where they left. But if you continue to wait and assume that the person will return on their own, you are putting their life further in danger, because the rescue now is getting a late start. And people always want to wait until dark, always want to wait till the evening time before they call out police and fire. Sometimes they're embarrassed. Sometimes they don't want anyone to know, well, he got away from me, she walked away, and I was supposed to be watching her. That's not important. What's important is that you call, you make the call so that we can come out and start the search for the person. It is important to understand that there are tools that will help in the search.
On the Health Alert today, there is new technology that could have helped with the missing Alzheimer's patient in New Jersey we told you about earlier. It allows public safety agencies like police departments to quickly find missing people.
Medical reporter Stephanie Stahl is here now with details.
Really important for families, guys. Alzheimer's patients wandering away from home leads to 31,000 search and rescue operations each year, according to research. More than 60% of people with Alzheimer's walk away and go missing at some point. But a simple bracelet could cut down on the search time and provide a lot of relief for families.
77-year-old Louise Haynes loves to go for walks, but as her Alzheimer's progressed, the worst finally happened and she got lost.
I was frightened to death.
Louise's daughter Christine was helpless during a 36-hour search. She turned up 13 miles away.
Fortunately, that it had the right, you know, a good ending.
Louise now wears a personal locator bracelet. It sends out radio signals, making it easier to track her within 7 miles. The bracelets are all part of Project Lifesaver, a program to help quickly rescue people with Alzheimer's disease or other mental disorders like autism. Portable receivers used by local public safety agencies like police departments track the bracelet signals.
So the frequency that they have reserved for this is a medical frequency, and they're using it under the medical terms, and it's saving lives.
Sergeant Michael Brancap has helped track down patients wearing the bracelet. When Louise walked off again on July 4th, the search took less than 2 hours.
I knew that she would be found in a relatively short time.
Now,
that is Operation Lifesaver. You can go to projectlifesaver.org, started in Chesapeake, Virginia, about 12 years ago. There is another program called Operation Safe Return. This project is similar, but a little different in that it uses actual GPS chips that are sewn into clothing or other items that the person may be wearing, or they also have GPS bracelets. The only problem with GPS is that they don't always work if the person is in a concrete garage or a steel building or someplace where the satellite signal will not penetrate. Police and law enforcement agencies and rescue squads across the country recommend that you use one of these. Project Lifesaver does work under all of those conditions. As a private security officer, public law enforcement officer, it's important to understand that it is our job to protect life and properties. It is our job to get out there and to assist as quickly as we can in these situations. As I mentioned in the first segment of our training, Alzheimer's disease is the fourth leading cause of death, the only cause of death without any treatment that cannot be prevented, cured, or even slowed down. More than 5.4 million Alzheimer's patients currently in the U.S. And as the baby boomers continue to age, we will see this dreadful disease take effect on more and more people. You're going to come across someone, if not in your own personal life, definitely in your professional life, who suffers from this disease. It is important that you understand, that you recognize what the symptoms and signs are. Very quickly, I want to run through that again, as we spoke about on our first segment of the show yesterday. There are signs that point to this: memory loss, disorientation, no sense of time, impaired judgment, absent-mindedness, carelessness, inability to communicate, inappropriate dress, poor concentration, abstract thinking, hallucinations, delusions. Those are just some of the signs and symptoms that you might come across while on patrol. You might find an elderly person dressed in a thick jacket, scarf, and gloves in 90-degree weather. You might find a person who you ask, "What time is it?" And they tell you it's noon, when in fact it's 10 p.m. If you know the symptoms and the signs, you'll be able to assist those who need your help. In this day and age, private security personnel and public safety are being called upon to do much more with much less. Many times, we're going to get the call first, before police, before the fire department. We're going to be the first responder. We're going to be the first one on the scene. It is our job to understand and recognize that when someone says the person missing is an Alzheimer's patient, what that means. It's our job to recognize when a person is called and said that they're suspicious, when we arrive, and we check that person out to determine whether or not they are suspicious, whether or not they are homeless, or whether or not they suffer from a medical condition. It's our job to understand the difference. There are so many times as private security and law enforcement, we're so busy with everything, with all the calls, so busy with all the duties that we have, that we just don't take the necessary time to give things a second glance, a second look. But when dealing with medical emergencies, when dealing with missing persons, when dealing with the elderly, it is important, it is essential that we give it all we have. Because it is a life and death situation. That wraps up part two of Alzheimer's disease recognition and response. If you missed part one, it is available now on demand. You can go back and listen to it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is actually a three-day course that I've been able to compress down to about 3 hours. However, if you'd like further information on Alzheimer's, go to their website at alz.org. If you would like more training as a public safety or security officer, We have a training module and a CD available. Send an email to trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. Join us tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network on the LP Zone. We'll be talking all about loss prevention, retail security. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the six ways that cashiers contribute to internal theft. There are at least six ways that they can steal you blind at the register. That's all for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. God bless. Be safe. Talk to you again right here on the Radio Network.